morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Monday, February 16th. I'm Charles Pelge with these news updates from around Wyoming. The Wyoming Senate voted unanimously on Friday to condemn an incident involving a Teton County conservative fundraiser who allegedly distributed checks to lawmakers on the House floor last week. Rebecca Bextel was photographed and admitted to delivering checks from another Teton County donor to at least two House members. A senator not involved in leadership told WPR he believed at least one senator was also handed a check by Bextel. The House had earlier voted unanimously to establish a special investigative committee to look into the incident, and Senate President Beau Biteman of Ranchester said he was considering asking law enforcement for help on an investigation on the Senate side.
We obviously have a lot going on right now, and we can't conduct our own investigation. We may need to bring in some help to make sure that nothing criminal was happening here.
And on Saturday, the Laramie County Sheriff's Office announced that it had initiated a criminal investigation to determine whether the handing out of checks constituted bribery. A proposed revamp of the way Wyoming funds its public schools has faced significant setbacks in the House. Wyoming Public Radio's Jeff Victor reports the Senate is trying to salvage it.
This year's recalibration bill would boost the average teacher salary, but it would also cut hundreds of teachers across the state, and it would up class sizes. Reworking the school funding model is required by state law, but the fate of this year's bill is now uncertain. In the House, lawmakers killed it on the first day of the session, and voted Friday to reject it a second time. The situation shocked Riverton Senator Tim Salazar, who led the committee that crafted the bill.
Quite frankly, I'm surprised about this. Nevertheless, we as the Senate can correct whatever happened down there.
Unlike the House, the Senate voted unanimously to introduce the bill. The upper chamber can now debate and amend the proposal, but it will ultimately need support in the House to become law. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Jeff Victor.
Jalen Coff won another Olympic medal over the weekend. The Western Wyoming athlete secured a silver in the head-to-head event known as Dual Moguls. KHOL's Jenna McMurtry watched it live from the Coff family bar in the small town of Tetonia, Idaho.
Around 40 people turned out to the Tetonia Club for a 2:30 a.m. watch party. Jalen Coff crashed in the second-to-last round, and the hometown crowd thought all was lost. The 29-year-old from Alta took a full tumble before getting back on her feet. Then, her competitor skied off the course. That meant Coff still advanced to the gold medal round. Family friend Beth Bird saw it all happen in real time, across the globe from the watch party back home.
Of course, we'd love to see her get a gold medal, but we know that she's so happy to have that silver medal, too. So anytime that she's on the podium, we're happy.
This is Coff's second silver medal of the week and the third in her career. The Grand Targhee Resort athlete is now the most decorated U.S. Olympian in moguls. I'm Jenna McMurtry, KHOL News.
A state fuel tax is causing some Wyoming electric vehicle charging stations to shut down. But a bill with a remedy is working its way through the legislature. Wyoming Public Radio's Caitlin Tan reports.
Representative Ocean Andrew of Laramie told lawmakers about a recent trip to Casper in his electric vehicle.
Booked the hotel that I usually stay at that has the EV chargers, and there was signs on all of them that said they had been removed.
This also happened at a City of Rock Springs station. Andrew says it's because of a newly enforced state fuel tax that amounts to negligible revenues, but a high burden on charging station owners. Many free, slower EV chargers don't have a meter to track the electricity to determine the monthly tax owed, and so it's simpler to shut them down than retrofit. Andrew is co-sponsoring a bill that only require a fuel tax on fast chargers, which typically already have a meter, and only out-of-state visitors would have to pay. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Caitlin Tan.
A lawsuit seeking to remove Secretary of State Chuck Gray from office has failed. On Friday, the Wyoming Supreme Court upheld a lower court's ruling in the case. Retired Laramie attorney Tim Newcomb sought to have Gray removed under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which bans state officials from having engaged in insurrection or rebellion. Newcomb's lawsuit alleged Gray provided aid and comfort to January 6 rioters at the U.S. Capitol. But justices agreed with the lower court that Newcomb had failed to state a claim upon which the dismissal could be granted. Governor Mark Gordon's office has submitted a waiver to the federal government to ban SNAP benefits from being used for soda and candy. As Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Haberman reports, a bill to do even more didn't gain momentum in Cheyenne.
Wyoming's current proposal to the U.S. Department of Ag phases out soda first, then candy a year later. But a bill in the legislature wanted to go further, also banning foods like sugar, coffee, and spices. Cody Representative Rachel Rodriguez-Williams told lawmakers, go full scope.
Without HB 7, Wyoming misses the chance to lead in the Make America Healthy Again movement.
But Laramie Representative Ken Chestick disagreed.
This is putting us closer to a nanny state where government tells you what you can and can't eat. That's not really the role of government.
That more restrictive bill failed introduction. The USDA hasn't approved or denied Wyoming's waiver yet. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Haberman.
Leaders around the region say a weekend deadline for a deal on the Colorado River has passed without an agreement. As Alex Hager reports for the Mountain West News Bureau, the seven states that use the river have been unable to set aside their differences, leaving the future of the water supply at risk.
Arizona's top water negotiator Tom Buschatsky said lower basin states have offered a number of good faith compromises to their upstream counterparts, but virtually all of those ideas have been rejected.
It is frustrating to me that we haven't been able to bridge gaps, and it's probably frustrating to them too.
Buschatsky says there's some hope for a deal before the current plan expires in October. He says more involvement from governors of the seven river states could help break the deadlock. If they can't agree, the federal government would likely force cutbacks deep into Arizona's water supply and trigger lawsuits. Alex Hager, Phoenix.
And now let's hear from Ivy Engel for a look at what happened this week in Wyoming history.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from history from around the state. According to the Wyoming Historical Society, on February 15, 1869, the first school in Laramie opened. On February 15, 1903, the Wyoming House passed a bill that permitted the use of voting machines in the state. On February 15, 1909, the legislature approved the formation of Park County. On February 15, 1955, the state motto of equal rights was adopted. It had been suggested almost exactly 65 years earlier, on February 16, 1890, by Robert C. Morris. About 20 years before that, on February 17, 1870, Robert's mother, Esther Hobart Morris, was appointed as the first female justice of the peace in the country. On February 19, 1982, the Arena Auditorium was dedicated at the University of Wyoming. On February 20, 1911, Lincoln County was created. The longest legislative day in Wyoming history started on February 20, 1923. It lasted for 56 hours. On February 1, 1922, it was reported that a Cody man attributed his failing health to prohibition. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. Who was the first Chinese national to enroll as a student at the University of Wyoming? Send us your answer to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for Friday's trivia question, how much has Wyoming invested in clean coal technology? The legislature has appropriated $205 million through the Energy Matching Funds Program to support carbon capture, hydrogen, and other technologies in an effort to keep coal viable. Congratulations to Robert Johnson, who was the first to submit the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Enjoy the day and join me again tomorrow.